April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
94 WIP FM HD1 Philadelphia from the Tasty Cake Studios. This is BGN Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh, what's going on, Bleeding Green Nation? Good afternoon, everybody. It is BGN Radio right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. I am John Barchard, Brandon Lee Gouton from BleedingGreenNation.com. Also, you might have heard of this man, Trey Thomas. I heard he's a former Eagle. Pretty good one. Somewhere in there. So we're
there. We go. There we go. My mic is on.
There it is.
I'm hot.
He's learning to be an engineer as we speak.
Yes.
And we've got some fun things to get into because, guys, it's a nice overcast day. You know, might have partaken in some singing and bourbon and dancing last night, which was very fun. I hope it continues on for everybody today. But these rookies have no time to go and do that, as the rookie minicamp has kind of got out there and started. But we'll start things off with BLG. BLG, what's happening today, bud?
John, it is rare that I am not in a good mood, but I'm not in a good mood.
Why aren't you in a good mood?
Well, you know, some things that have happened.
I guess stay tuned to BleedingGreenNation.com for all that. What, Trey, is the golf course treating you any better? I saw that you had to hide your golf score card the other day.
I had to hide my golf score over at, the course that's out there, the Delaware Racetrack. I cannot think of the name of it right now.
Oh, okay.
It's escaping me. I can't think of it.
White Creek Country Club.
Yes. You know, they told me that I should bring extra balls for that course, and I didn't listen. I was like, oh, man, you know what?
I'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be all right.
Do you have to go into the water at all?
No, I don't have one of those retrievers, but I lost a lot of balls. I think I was probably about 8 or 10 balls in.
Yeah, okay.
Of lost balls. And I play with red balls. It's kind of hard to lose a red ball. And, I lost a lot of balls out there, man. Beautiful course.
Stick to painting, maybe.
Oh, no. I would definitely go back. You know, I'd just be a little bit more, better prepared. Anytime you play a course for the first time, you know, it's tough, man. It's a shooter's course, though. It's a nice course.
Trey, I want to stay with you on this because there is what was it like going into a rookie mini camp when you don't really know anybody, you're not sure how it's going to go, and you've got, well, I mean, you had Juan. You have infamous stories about Juan.
But yeah.
What is it like approaching, you know, this week to try and, like, are you really trying to prepare and learn the playbook as much as possible? What's going through everybody's head right now?
Yeah, I think so. You definitely want to get in. You want to make a good impression. I mean, this is one of the times where the coaches can really focus on you and give you the attention that they can, that it's all about you and getting you up to speed. So you definitely want to come in, learn as much of the playbook as possible, get your movements down, because that's going to be one of the most important parts of it as well, being able to move along with the plays that's being added into it. And it's all football. It's just learning new terminology, except for Jordan. You know,
Jordan says he's up to 2 peanuts of knowledge with football, so we're keeping a progress chart on him.
Yeah, so it's a little different for him because, I mean, he's having to learn football along with the movements, the terminology, and everything else that's going on.
Yeah, certainly. We'll talk about Jordan because I think he's become the, just because of what he is, right? I mean, he's the most interesting project that the Eagles have here. And certainly, I didn't declare on the BGN Radio podcast, well, the optimism is that, you know, he ends up like Jason Peters. In fact, said, I think he possibly could have the framework of a Jason Peters type of athletic body. I'm going to be wrong. I clearly said that, too, because, you know, we talked to Jason Kelce a little earlier in the week as well. And It's just the, kind of that same thing, and I'll go back to train a little bit on it, but BLG, I mean, why is everybody so infatuated with one, Jordan? I don't even know if it's the proper pronunciation. Mialata or Mialata?
See, that's why I didn't
Mialata? Yeah, any clarification?
Look,
yeah.
He's a rookie. He doesn't get the, you know, he doesn't have the right to have his name pronounced right just yet. Right. You know, he kind of has to earn it.
Doesn't even know what an angle block is.
It also wasn't complicated enough where we forced ourselves to pronounce it right, like Halapuli Vati Vaita.
There it is. Yeah. You're just doing that to show off.
That's pretty good.
Look at that. Look at that.
There's no, I guess we could call him Big J or Big M or something.
Right along the line. Big B, Big J.
But it's interesting because, I mean, you look at this Eagles rookie draft class. There's only five picks, so it's not like a lot of guys to even get excited about. And he didn't have a first-round pick because he traded out, so there's not that natural buzz about, you know, like last year when Derek Barnett came in, all eyes were on him. He's the 14th overall pick. Everyone's expecting him to be this thing. Dallas Goedert, you know, there's excitement for him, but he's a tight end. He's behind Zach Ertz. So, you know, his contributions are going to be a little bit limited. And then you have guys
we're going to fight about that again, huh?
Well, I'm just saying, like, he's not going to – all right. Well, even if he's going to play a lot, it's still going to be, like, 40%. It's not going to be like he's, you know, every down, making, you know, these huge impacts every game, every week, every play. But, you know, you have those guys. You have Maddox in here. You brought Matt Pryor in here with Mailata. It's just – it's never been done before, I guess, right? Like, that's the interesting thing about it is that if this somehow works, it would be insane. It would be crazy. It would be – unprecedented, and I think it's really interesting to see how he was out there, and you could tell. I think, you know, this is like a different environment for him. Mm-hmm. There was one point where he's out there, and, you know, he's in his stance, and he doesn't even get out of it because he can't hear.
Right.
He's not used to wearing a helmet. He's not used to wearing a helmet. And Stout is like, what are you doing?
There's
he's
a
like,
lot of things.
He's looking at it. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, what are you saying? I can't hear you. So it's a big learning curve.
Yeah, and there's scope of the game, like having a small understanding. It almost seems like, I mean, Trey, it doesn't even look like he watched American football.
He was a rugby player.
I know.
He was playing running back. He wasn't looking at football, especially if he was watching football. He definitely wasn't watching the offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably watching running backs and looking at the jukes and all that. Man was not watching offensive line technique and stuff, man. You know, and it's a huge learning curve that's going to have to happen, you know.
Let me phrase it this way, Trey. Go back to the first time that you were learning how to play your position at left tackle.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to just get I can simply do this one technique?
It took me a while, you know, because I switched over in college, you know, but, you know, I had those 3 or 4 years to kind of get myself together, you know, on the college level, because I had never played offensive tackle until my second year at Florida State. So it took me a little while to kind of get my bearings together. And then, you know, every coach, I was fortunate to have a good offensive line coach that really taught me the position. And then Juan just took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And, you know, Juan, even with working with Juan, there was a learning curve of trying to get myself up to speed to get on the professionals, to be ready for the professional side of it now. But, you know, it's going to take a while for him, you know.
Well, and just to put that perspective even more, let's say you never had an opportunity to learn what you did at Florida State and you're with Juan Castillo, what would it have been like?
I think, well, we had that happen 1 year with, I don't know if his name is Zach or Steve Neal. Mm-hmm. You know, we had brought him in. He was a wrestler. And we ended up letting him go. He went to New England and played for them for like 10 years as a starting guard and won a couple Super Bowl champions. Had never played offensive line, never played football, was just a wrestler, came out there with just no gloves, didn't know how to put anything on, and then there you go. So it takes a little while just to get used to it, and especially now you're out at tackle where you don't have any help. You're on an island, you know, so it's going to have to be a lot of getting into he's going to get beat to death. I'm thinking just his first training camp, BG and them are going to just eat him up. Just because, I mean, I don't care how good you adjust to it. There's just certain stuff that the coach isn't going to be able to teach you, and you're going to have to learn on your own. And it's going to come with getting your behind whooped a couple times. I mean, sometimes that's your best lessons.
888-729-9494 is we're taking away our first impressions of rookie training camp. And we also want to know, just as you're looking into this now, and sure, it's a little projection, but who and which rookie is going to have the biggest impact for this team? I'll include UDFAs in there, too, if you want to get cute with some of those things. Did you want to say that Josh Adams is going to just tear these things up and he's the next LeGarrette Blount? We've certainly heard that a lot this week. But 888-729-9494. Let's start things off with Bob in Wilmington. What's up, Bob?
Hey guys, I like Trey's guy Sweat to tear things up.
Sweat,
Sweat. That's right.
I think he's got a chance to be a real good pass rusher. But I wanted to call, and maybe this is just, pardon me, just paranoia.
Mm-hmm.
But did anybody notice in Peterson's press conference yesterday? And Doug is, you know, he's always very calm. I mean, you know, he goes to great lengths to explain things. When somebody asked him about Jernigan yesterday, he kind of got his hackles up a little bit, said, I'm not talking about this. And has anybody contacted Jernigan?
Nope.
This kind of seems – does it seem a little weird to you that there's no news? Is he in Philadelphia?
We don't know, and the team won't release if they are or not because they're not obligated to do such. I'm right in the same boat that you are with you, Bob, and – to be honest, after asking around, there is no way that was off of a workout. That's my intuition off of that. That's something
intuition.
I don't even think it happened in March, to be honest with you. I think it happened clearly before then.
Huh. Did Doug seem like a little PO'd about it? Did you get that impression at all from his response?
I didn't get that impression at all. I just think that he did not want to give out any information than he had to, more than he had to in that. And they probably shouldn't. And here's how I look at it, Bob. No matter what I think or, you know, might think about what happened in this situation, their contract details pretty much tell all there. Even if he was, I would assume at this point, working out that wasn't, and it wasn't in the Eagles facility, whatever, there's no way that they would structure his contract the way it is now. Mm-hmm. It really seems to me like this was not even a workout, that it was an off-the-field incident where he's probably doing something normal, like normal people do, like hanging out and doing whatever, or playing a basketball game, and got injured that way. That's how it looks to me, at least.
Okay. It just seems very strange. If you go through there's no news on the internet. Nothing. There's nothing from Tim or anything. And he's probably not allowed to talk about it.
It doesn't serve him right to talk about it either, Bob. And I appreciate the call there. BLG, I wonder if you kind of, you feeling a little bit of the same way?
Well, when I heard Doug talk about it, I mean, he did shut it down pretty quickly, which is kind of begs to raise the question, if it was something so simple, why couldn't you just say it?
You know,
I was lifting some weights and he got hurt and that's it. Boom. It was like, no, actually, we're not going to talk about that. Next question.
Yes. Yeah. Not at all. Right, Trey? I mean, that's unorthodox. Yeah, unordinary.
It
not
does
ordinary.
Seem a little off. I would like to hear what happened, you know, because, I mean, it's a herniated disc. I mean, what can you do out there that can – I know what I did to have create my herniated disc. Yeah. It was a football play. But just trying to figure out what was going on with him. I mean, it could have been a lifting incident if he was outside of the facility, if he was working out somewhere else.
It's a really easy thing to say.
Well, they probably wanted him to be in-house, you know, but he probably chose to go and work out somewhere else. And then here you go. You had a couple situations a couple years back where you had a weightlifting program here that was outside of the Eagles facility, and a lot of guys were getting blown pecs and shoulders coming from this program. And, you know, the coaches wanted everybody to be in-house, and when stuff like that starts happening, that really leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth, you know, and they want you to be here and work out because they know, well, they would think that if you're in underneath our roof, something like that wouldn't have happened.
And your contract would be still in place because you're working out with the team. It's not like you're not like, all right, out on your own. And
exactly.
Yeah.
But for instance, if, you know, like Carson Wentz takes all the receivers last year to North Dakota, which is clearly not in the facility or wherever, and they're working out and somebody gets injured there.
And they're pissed.
It's not going to reflect in the way that the contract foiled out with Tim Jernigan.
Yes, it would.
You're telling me that they would take away all the bonus money from them instantly?
Yeah, they probably could.
Because if you get hurt outside of that facility, I think so.
Seems a little strange just to me after extending a guy in the middle of the season, then being like, actually, no.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as simple as that.
That's when you have to read the fine print.
Make sure you got a really good agent or lawyer that's hanging out. Let's go to Harry on a cell. What's up, Harry?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Honestly, he could have done that sneezing, for cripe's sake. I ruptured the disc in the back, doing something just as simple as turning around and say hello to a friend.
So, man, what a happen.
I mean,
what,
come
what
on now. We're talking about a professional athlete that does core exercises all the time. You know,
I understand that, but if you know anything about the back, you can herniate a disc stepping off a curb.
Yeah.
It just It's a freak. It really is.
I know.
But that's not the reason I called. I called on the other show, and they said that I got to talk Eagles, so I will. But that's not a problem. They were talking about LeBron James, and I honestly think he's going to come to Philadelphia. He's already announced that he wants to play off the ball more. And with his buddy on the team, wow, that's just – it's awfully coincidental if it's not his plan.
Well, look, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, and that way, what, that came from Post, right? That came from ESPN with at least the thought of him wanting to play off ball as he goes into the latter. Well, and that's honestly, I mean, everybody, this is what I don't understand, is everybody thinks that it takes away LeBron's special ability when he doesn't play or when he plays off ball, which is crazy to me. I mean, that's exactly what Simmons needs. You put him and Kawhi together and let's rock and roll. We'll see how good the Boston fans like that.
The other question I had with Timmy Jernigan, or not with Tim Jernigan. With Tim Jernigan. With him being out like that, why don't they put the Australian guy in as a defensive tackle? I mean, holy crap. 6 foot, 44 pounds. Man, that's a lot of guy to block.
Well, let's ask Trey this. What's easier to learn?
Defensive line. Definitely is much easier to learn just because it's see ball, get ball, you know, and even though there's a little bit more technique to it, but you
now,
can.
Would you say that in front of Fletcher Cox?
Exactly. I said, I mean, come on, you know, yes, I would. I tell the defensive line.
Your job's easy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you see ball, get ball, you know, but. Go ahead.
Did you ever, during your playing days, did a coach ever say to you, hey, we want to try this weird package, can we teach you a few moves, try you out, just to, like, in case they ever wanted to throw something crazy at the other team?
No, because they needed me to protect the blind side.
They didn't want to risk you. Fair enough.
Yeah,
did any of your other offensive line teammates ever have that happen?
No, only Todd Harriman's. You know, they put him at tight end. He caught a couple touchdowns.
Right.
Other than that, you know, they kept us where we were, you know. But I think, you know, if you're looking for something to learn that's a quick – that doesn't have as big of a learning curve, defensive line, but his only problem is he's 6'8". You know, so if he doesn't understand leverage, he's going to stand up all the time. He's going to get blown off the ball, so it's not as easy. You're going to have to learn how to use your hands, how to bull rush and all of that other stuff, which is you can learn it a lot quicker than having to how to balance yourself in pass protection. But, you know, it's either way, you know, there's going to be a learning curve.
And which position's more valuable?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Certainly. When you're trying to look for a future replacement.
Yeah.
And I honestly, where a package where I could see Jordan going in is when it's three tackles that are on there, and he either is a part of that or they just give him the honey Bobo and they just go, okay, you're the new Bo Allen, and seven times a year we're going to use you on the goal line as a big fullback, fullback blocker.
Yeah. Put him at tight end.
Roll like that. Tight end? Yeah. I mean, 5'140", you know?
You watch those highlights. I want the ball in his hands at some point this season.
Yeah, you know Doug is going to do it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times did Seumalo go in the backfield in those goal line sets?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of, like, because you can't use the fridge. You know, like the Perry was just a large man. That's all he was.
And he was only 3'10" back then.
Yeah. and then now, like, he's just, I mean, Jordan's cut like a Greek god. So I'm trying to think of an appliance that, like, it makes more sense if you're gonna bring that in. So if you have any Jordan nicknames that you can use, like the fridge, I'm very, very open to that as well. 888-729-9494. And talking about rookie impacts, and unfortunately, I don't think Jordan's going to be a part of that this season. But, you know, Bob had mentioned it earlier. Josh Sweat, I mean, it is the impressions for me, BLG, for the fact that he doesn't have a knee brace on coming into rookie camp, I think is a great sign. Any concerns about, you know, that in his past history in 2014, where he basically had to repair his entire knee, and there's you know, some scarcity there that he might end up losing the entire leg and all that stuff, and it's kind of awesome how he's built himself back to this. But, you know, he even was saying how much he enjoys playing the five technique now and not having to worry about getting you know, slid in there in a wide nine system. I think he's going to have a much larger impact than we're assuming right now.
Yeah, and we hear that with a lot of defensive linemen, really, who come in. I mean, Tim Jernigan was saying that last year when he was playing, you know, two gapping with the Ravens for all
attack,
this, and
attack,
even at
attack,
Florida
attack,
State, right?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
all of a sudden he comes into the system now when he can attack. And look, early in the season last year, he was great. And I think you look at the same thing. That's what Josh Sweat has been saying a lot, where he's like, look, he almost seems like pretty kind of, honestly, just not like enjoying that scheme at all in college.
Yes.
He's like, oh, I finally got out of there. Now I can actually attack and rush the passer, and it's a lot more fun. So I think that'll be interesting. I wonder how much of an impact he'll really be able to make right away, because, you know, you have, they're just so loaded. You have Brandon Graham, you have Chris Long, you have Michael Bennett, you have Derek Barnett. Stephen Means is still around. Like, you know, there's a lot of guys
he means
at that
business.
Position. Yes, he does. So that'll be interesting to see how he develops. And I think with the knee, that there's no brace.
Yeah.
But, you know, he did fall to the fourth round for a reason.
Certainly.
There were concerns. There was talk that he didn't really, like, fully practice at Florida State all the time. So that's, you know, another thing you have to think about as well, and how are they going to manage that knee over the long term. But he's an interesting dude for sure.
Yeah, I really like just his overall his athletic ability. And, again, when you put on the tape and see that, It's that same mode of, and nobody likes two gapping, right? I mean, there is not a defensive lineman on earth that goes, oh, good, I'm glad I get to hold up the pile,
man.
Right? Like they want to go
just
kill
can't
somebody.
Attack, unless like you can't attack, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like you're just some kind of plotting guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can't rush the pass.
You have
anyway.
To hold
Cedric
up and
Thornton.
And let
yeah,
the
exactly.
yeah.
man Cedric. I tell you what though, when Cedric Thornton, Fletcher Cox, and Benny were together, man,
that was fun.
That was like the nastiest two gapping group I've ever seen, man. Those guys, they held it down out there. But, you know, it is tough, though, when you're in 4-3.
Yeah.
And Sed would just, he would absorb a blocker or two with one arm, and then he'd get that second arm out and just wrap up a guy, just pull him in.
Yeah.
He wasn't a great attacker. He might allow a few yards here and there, but he was solid in that two gap set.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And it's for my eyes, it's a lot funner to see these guys go and kill people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I like the transition there. Josh Sweat's probably going to be my guy that we're – maybe I'll put him in the class of, you know, we're not thinking about in large impacts in their rookie year. But certainly we want to hear yours, too. We're getting impressions
Sweat.
From rookie camp and
Sweat.
Everywhere else. It is BGN Radio. Trey Thomas, Brandon Lee Gowden, and I'm John Barchard. It is Sports Radio, 94 WIP.
Talking Philly sports with Sewell.
Awesome.
Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It is BGN Radio. Right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Trey Thomas in with us. Brandon Lee Gowden from BleedingGreenNation.com. I am John Barchard. And almost a little tidbit from Jimmy Kemsky this morning, which is a little bit surprising. How many injured guys were there playing in the Super Bowl? Derek Barnett had surgery on a sports hernia, which I guess is already back to, you know, to full health or whatever that's going on. How on earth, like, does this happen all the time that people just play through injuries that don't get reported, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, by
absolutely.
The way, just scope my knee, no big deal, and move on from there. So it's pretty amazing how many guys, how much is that, I mean, it's got to affect your technique and all that stuff, and he still played at a pretty high level throughout that. Alshon Jeffrey, without basically a shoulder, took care of business here. Timmy Jernigan, despite, you know, what may or may not happen in the workouts, was still playing injured throughout the Super Bowl as well. Like, how it's amazing to me when we discuss all these things, because earlier in the week we were talking about, like, you know, or the draft class of 2015 and how much, like, should be counted against somebody who is quote unquote injury prone. But, like, you hear all these stories and it's impossible not to get hurt.
Yeah.
It is impossible.
Yeah. That's the thing about football. There is no if you're going to get hurt, it's when you're going to get hurt. And everybody's going to have surgery at some point. That's just the reality of football. And it's, to answer your question, people get hurt all the time, and in the off season you just have to go and get certain stuff cleaned up. You know, if it's bone spurs, or if it's getting your knee cleaned up, or meniscus tears or whatever. So there's always, you know, that list of guys that have to go and have something cleaned out in the offseason, and that's just the part of the game that, you know, that every football player is going to have to deal with.
Yeah. So yeah. It's like you just the thing is you never know, so you automatically think, well, this guy's playing bad, and then all of a sudden it's just like, actually, he didn't have a leg. Sorry, I didn't know if you noticed that
yeah,
or not.
Yeah, you know.
But that's so yeah, I mean a lot of guys, you know, banged up, getting cleared up coming into rookie camp here, BLG, and I don't know, is there anybody else that's kind of popping off your list here that you're going, I think this guy can actually make a large impact in his first year as an Eagle.
Well, I think Philly Goddard, you know, is clearly the obvious answer there with being that number two tight end. And here's the thing.
Oh, real quick on that, because I saw the petition that people were trying to make him. Yeah. Why aren't they petitioning to, like, say, you know, make his last name Sucks?
No.
Dallas Sucks? Like, that would just, it would motivate him and also be, you know, like a thing that you could always say all the time.
That doesn't resonate with me as much. I like Philly Goddard. Taking it from Dallas and making it into a Philly thing.
Fair enough. So
Philly Goddard. Philly Goddard.
Philly
Goddard. Yeah.
You can just call him Phil, you know, whatever. I think Philly Goddard has a good chance to, like, so here's the thing. And going back to the argument we kind of had about the tight end, how much will he play? Now, I said one of my caveats to that argument was that it doesn't necessarily matter how much he plays if he's making a huge impact, especially in important areas. Like, if he's this third down monster, this red zone monster, which he very well could be, that's fine. I don't really care how much he plays if he's making the offense effective, and I think that could be the case. So I'm interested to see really what that looks like when you get him out on the field there with Zach Ertz, because I love the player. Like, I like Dallas Goedert a lot. Watching that guy play, how could you not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's fun to watch. He's like the tight end version almost of OBJ at times. Like, he's making these ridiculous catches. It's fun to, and the Eagles, look, the weird, like, I don't get where that Zach Ertz comparison was coming from. Like, they're not the same player. Like, Dallas Goedert's more of like a Travis Kelce kind of player.
Yes.
Or Jimmy Kemsky, since we're talking about him, compared him to like a Greg Olsen, like that kind
makes
of guy.
Sense.
A lot more, like, you know, threatening after the catch and more physical. Like, Ertz is a really good route runner, but once he gets the ball, he's in the open field.
He's not
making anyone miss, and that's fine. He's a good player. I'm just saying, like, it's not those two guys aren't the same player. So I'm kind of interested to see that again, because look, in past years, we haven't really seen a ton of that second tight end. Like, Trey Burton played and Brent Celek played, but they didn't contribute a ton. They were role players. And I think Dallas Goedert, you bring him in, it'll be interesting to see how that second tight end really gets featured in this offense.
And as we know, wide receivers and tight ends and all that coming into the league, it's going to take you a while to get your bearings in, you know, where you can go and be able to win. I think Dallas is in an interesting Goddard's is in a interesting situation, because you don't have to be the guy coming in here right away, and not even the first tight end. There's so many other weapons on this team that you can just use your skill set. And what's exciting to me, Trey, is this team basically now gets to control the middle of the field at all times, which is going to win you a ton of football games. I don't know if a year one impact is going to be huge, but certainly long term, like, I'm in love with Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, definitely, man. Because I mean, he just brings an extra dynamic to the offense, another weapon for Carson. You know, I really don't see anybody on this list that we're depending on to make a big impact right out the gate, because this team is stacked. You know, we just need somebody to come in and play your role and do your part and kind of help support this team. And you know, don't mess up when your number is called.
Right. Yeah. Don't drop the ball.
Don't let the lights get too bright for you when you sit up there on Monday Night Football, you know, because now you're on prime time. You're on the team that's winning. You're on the team that is defending Super Bowl champs, that's going for a repeat. And, you know, and also, you have to understand the city that you're playing in, you know.
So
if you do go out and you have a bad performance, you know,
you're gonna hear it.
Don't have thin skin.
Yeah, you know?
get ready for what's coming.
Yeah, certainly. And the other thing is, I like this group. It's their mentality and where it's at. And there's one guy that I still think can have a major impact on this team. And it might be subtle, but I think it would solidify the secondary. And that's pretty much giving it all away now. But 888-729-9494 is checking with our good friend Big E. What's up, Big E?
Hey, guys. I love the show today.
Appreciate it,
and
buddy.
Mr. Producer is so funny. He thought I was funny. And here we go.
Here we go.
All right. John, I have a question for Trey.
Sure.
And okay. John, it was the most... the draft this year you know, we thought it was going to be really boring, but they got this guy in, this Australian guy, whatever his name is, right? He's a monster. Yeah.
Jordan okay? Mailata?
Yeah, Jordan. That's his name. And so, John, here's my question for you. The last time I was very impressed with Howie was when he moved to get Carson Wentz, okay? I was very excited.
That was the last time you were impressed with Howie? Wow.
Okay.
All right.
This time, this is a, you know, it's the last pick, right? The guy can be a monster. And that's my question for you. What do you think about the pick? And then I'll go to Trey.
Okay. I mean, like, if for a seventh-round pick and you're going to rely on athleticism and upside and teaching somebody the game, I would take that 100 times over a Bo Scarborough or a Josh Adams or somebody that's just kind of in there and doing its thing. They already got a guy from TCU that I think, you know, could be able to stick here too as a backup tackle. So now it gives you an opportunity to bet on athleticism and bet on Jeff Stoutland, on him teaching the game. By the way, Zach Myers, who's listening to the show on the twitter.com at BGN_radio, the Barbie, I think is a pretty good nickname for Jordan. So we'll let that simmer around. Trey?
Yeah. Trey, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. I listened to Ray earlier, and Ray had the opinion, which I agree with, that he could be a better defensive tackle prospect than an offensive line player because the footwork is so much more hard to learn.
Well, yeah, and okay? we had a question about that earlier that he said, you know, you said it was easier.
Yeah, the footwork for offensive tackle is a lot harder to deal with, only because, you know, you have to understand how to not getting a balanced stance when you when I say that, you don't want both your feet on the same level. As a left tackle, you want your right foot a little bit forward and your left foot is going to be back. So you have your post foot, which is your right foot, and your kick foot or whatever you want to call it is going to be your left foot. One of the things that's playing, especially when you're playing tackle or even on the offensive line, whenever you get that inside move, you have to kind of keep that same stagger.
Right.
You cannot let your right foot drop down to where your left foot is and get your feet
even. Yeah,
you
just lost. Yeah.
Because then now you're going to give up the inside. And if you mess around and you drop that right foot to where it's behind your left foot, now you're turning and you're opening up a gate to that defensive end that can just come in for the quarterback. So the footwork is extremely important. And then you can't – when it comes to even with setting, you have to kind of keep that same stagger. You can't allow your feet to get together. You know, you have to keep a good base. You know, there's a lot that has to go into it. You know, when I'm teaching a tackle, when it's time to teach technique and stuff, I work footwork way before you even get into throwing hands, just because it's like training a boxer. You don't teach them how to punch right away. You teach them how to move. Then you get into using your hands, you know, and that's one of the things with him. He's just going to have to learn how to move first. Let's get your movement down, make sure your feet are right, and then you can learn how to play, start using your hands. But when you're on the defensive side of the ball, it's just getting in a nice three-point stance where you're going to fire off and you hit the gap, you know, and that's one of the – now you have to deal with how to take on double teams, what happens if you get cut, you know, little stuff like that, but it is a lot easier if you're going to go on the defense side of the ball.
And the only thing I can picture right now is like Jordan being on a Pop Warner football field, and that's it. I mean, that's where you're starting from. There's just
pretty much
large specimen again amongst all these kids, and you're like, yeah, man, sorry, you got to start here.
Yeah, you just got to learn. Yeah, you have to learn. You know, it is what it is. It's going to take a while.
And getting back to Dallas Goedert here, BLG. This is, I mean, to me, I think the long-term effects of what this does, even, and we talked about this on the podcast at BGN_radio. They had six picks in this draft, a plethora of UDFAs and all that. This to me really isn't about guys that you absolutely have to nail. Like if they come away with only one guy, that's a win here. To me, for me, it's the 2017 class working out. And then 2019 with all of those picks, really, you know, it's striving and going and nailing most of those, because to me, that's pretty much how your core has been set up. You went and got Carson in 2016. Those two drafts are probably going to be it. Anything that you pull out of this one, I would consider a win at this point. I'm not looking at this to be like, well, if nothing works out, then everything's bad. Because it's really hard to come away with anybody with 13, let alone six picks.
Yeah, like Trey was saying earlier, I mean, the roster's stacked. You're not looking to build a core with these guys that you brought in. These are kind of like supplemental pieces. That's how I'd look at this draft. It's a very like, all right, we have this great thing in place, but like we could use some more tight end depth. We really need some more competition at nickel corner. Offensive tackle, we feel good about Big V. But, you know, Jason Peters could retire in a couple of years or so. We should probably start thinking about the future of that position. Let's bring in some guys, you know, and you know, it's offensive line in general. Can never have too many of those guys.
No, you can't.
So let's just bring in some of those guys as well. And I think that's kind of where, and then defensive end, same thing as well. Yeah. Like, you know, Brandon Graham, Chris Long, Michael Bennett, those guys are getting older. Let's get a young guy in here. I think it's all kind of thinking about the future. While you can get some production out of those guys, you can get Philly Goddard coming in here. Maybe Avante Maddox comes in, wins that slot corner job. So there is some immediate impact potential, but not in the sense of like being a full-time starter. That's kind of why the draft wasn't just as exciting this year, because you weren't trying to find that guy who's going to come in and be that instant difference maker. It's kind of just like, all right, he's going to come in, he's going to help the team.
And certainly I want to talk about you know, Avante and his impact, because that's one of the guys that I'm certainly think of that can have immediate success in this defense. And we want to get your thoughts too. Which rookie is going to have the biggest impact in your mind from this draft as rookie camp is getting started up here? Also, if you were in the shower and you could nail a song, what song would that be? Because Eagles offensive line hopeful Ian Park has done so, and we got to play that for you. That's all coming up next. John Barchard, Brandon Leegout, and Trey Thomas all here with you. It's Bleeding Green Nation Radio, BGN Radio, on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This is BGN Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Now, I wonder, I've been kind of wondering ever since I saw this. Like, this kid, Ian Park, who was from Stony Brook, and then also I think he transferred from Northwestern. On a tryout basis, right here, BLG. That's why he's here, not the
undrafted free agent.
Oh, he is a UDFA. Yep. I mean, if anyone's heard, for all the nerds out there, I know BLG is not a big Halo guy, but he's a video game guy.
A fellow
nerd along with me here.
Oh,
well,
I'm a big Halo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big Halo guy back when it was out.
Yeah. Is that all you guys did at minicamp? Play Halo?
Yeah, we played a lot of Halo. Got it in.
Yeah. Because I remember way back in the day, you know, this is pre-Xbox Live and things like that. That was, some LAN parties where you'd freaking nerd out and put four televisions together and, you know, click it all in. Anyway, there are some fellow nerds that are on it. Ian Park is one of them. Now, if you don't know the Halo theme, it's pretty iconic, but this is what it sounds like. Ah, yes, the voices. This brings you right back. Because this is... If you grew up in a college dorm anywhere, what was that, 1996 and on, and you heard this, no one turned it off. I mean, this just played in the background, and then, like, no one would turn off their TVs. So, I guess because Ian Park has been doing this since college, the Eagles stuck him in the shower to get the perfect residence for it. And to me, I think he nails it here. Uncanny.
I almost like his version better.
Yeah, I do too, because it's a real voice.
Yeah.
He has a voice pretty of an angel.
It's pretty spot on. And
pretty spot on. This is better than the original.
If you didn't tell people this was an Eagles undrafted free agent, they would have thought you just took the
Wait, here's the best part.
Vocals.
Go Birds, right at the end.
Wow, he's a songbird.
Which confirms to me now that the Eagles are going 19-0. Because like that, just to have this as a part of that. So, fellas, any songs that you would feel comfortable in the shower that you could absolutely nail? Like
in a team shower?
Like our friend Ian Park? No, not in your own shower. In your own shower.
I don't know.
Really?
Fly Eagles Fly?
Yeah. Fly Eagles Fly. There you go.
Well, if there's a song that you know you could nail in the shower, I'd love to hear from you too. 888-729-94.
Think about that.
94. Let's go to Matt out there in Palo Alto. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing? Good morning from beautiful 78-degree Palo Alto. I'm here with my son Owen.
Hi, Owen.
Hey, what's up, Owen?
We're, We're driving to football practice. He plays running back and defensive back.
Excellent.
We're listening to this conversation about the Australian rugby player.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to explain to him, to a 9-year-old boy, how do you basically use two draft picks, right, this year and a trade up next year, for a guy that literally has never played football, never touched a football, when then you have a running back like Josh Adams, who, he's not Saquon Barkley, but he played in the same league.
Well, they got both of them. They got both of them,
well,
man.
I'm saying, how does one guy worth two draft picks and the other guy's a UFA?
Well, because here's the thing on that. First of all, it's a seventh round pick, right? So that's nothing but flyer picks anyway. You know that there's going to be a ton of UDFA running backs in this class, and it just kind of how it is every year. They're pretty much set there. What they don't have right now is some guy that you could just go, okay, he's going to be our permanent left tackle for the next decade, right? So why not take a chance while you still have Jason Peters, while you still have Big V? And also, I mean, you already took an offensive lineman that is a more traditional guy who, and by I say traditional, I mean played the game of football.
Yeah, yeah.
Right in front of you. Plus, they also did that during the undrafted free agent period as well. They signed some guys there. So just bet on the athleticism and bet on that Jeff Stoutland is going to turn this guy into that, so he doesn't get into a bargaining war with the rest of the teams that are doing there.
And the other thing, Matt,
you don't think that Howie did? So sorry to interrupt. You don't think that Howie did it just to get us talking about it because we had a pretty thin draft this year? Is this a fun thing, or you really think this guy has potential?
Well, I think the thing with that, Matt, is that part of where Josh Adams specifically fell. I don't know if you saw this. He wasn't even participating in rookie minicamp yesterday. Mm-hmm. He has a foot issue, so that's kind of something that kind of tanked his stock and a reason why he fell specifically. But when it comes to your question here about Mailata and why the Eagles gave up, and it was only a 2019 seventh round pick that they gave up, and they already had two of them, so you're not going to be able to roster all those guys really anyway. So they felt like it was worth it. They felt like it was worth it because in the seventh round, I think they would rather just swing for the fences than bring in this guy who, okay, we know what he is. It's a safe seventh-round pick. I think they'd rather – they have this roster, and they're thinking, no, we don't need to be safe because we already have this roster set. Making a safe pick doesn't do a whole lot for us. Why not swing for the fences because we have the luxury to do that?
Mm-hmm. I think he's kicking Mule 2.0, but we'll see. It should be fun.
I think
kicking Mule 2.0? Is that what he said?
The little kid was about to say something.
Yeah, John, you cut off Owen.
Well, Owen was in the distance here. I'm sorry, Owen.
Off Owen, man? Owen had his moment. He was about to take his moment.
I didn't know.
And it was cut off.
Listen.
Owen.
It's my fault.
We want to hear what Owen has to say.
Owen, if you want it, we'll bring you right back on, pal. I'm sorry, man. But there's, BLG, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is why it's a part of all
it's
that.
It's probably not going to work out. That's the honest truth.
Yeah, like, it probably won't.
Chances are it won't. But if it does, it would be amazing.
It would be awesome.
It would be great.
And that's 6'8"?
And that's why you do it. What's Josh Adams going to be so special that you need to take him in the seventh round? He could be fine,
yeah,
right? But like you could get a ton of guys like that. They just got Corey Kmet last year. There's a Josh Adams in every draft. There is not a Jordan Mailata in every draft.
And I don't think this team has to worry about getting into bidding wars when it comes to free agency, because once the Philadelphia Eagles calls your agent or calls these particular players returning Super Bowl champs, everybody's signing up for that.
Yeah, and he's from Bucks County.
Yeah, there you go.
Where he was going to go.
Everybody's signing up for that.
But with undrafted free agents, there is the argument to be made that this is a very set roster. Not as many players want to come to a place where they have less of an opportunity to make the team.
Is what
majority
Joe Douglas
of them, at the very least, will just make practice squad.
Joe Douglas had said that during the process, the pre-draft process,
but
as well.
The problem with that is they only had five picks. You know what I mean? So that's another thing. Like, they didn't have a full set of draft class. And the other thing is that, why did the Eagles win the Super Bowl? It wasn't just because they had these star players. It's like you had guys like
incredible. Yeah.
Corey Kmet coming out of nowhere. He had good coaching, developed into a good player. If you're an undrafted free agent, why wouldn't you look at that and be like, I could be Corey Kmet?
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's going to be interesting, too, because along with Josh Adams, it's getting pretty squishy there in the with the running back position. We'll definitely tackle that. And Rocco, thank you for letting me know. Actually, Slippery Rock is where Ian's from. I was thinking of my good friend Ray Bolden, who's here on a tryout basis from Stony Brook, so I lumped those two together. Slippery Rock, it's Stony Brook. It's all the same thing, right? 888-729-9494. There was some other news because along with the Eagles going along and trying to find maybe a little more depth at the defensive tackle. They haven't signed anybody yet, but they signed a new running back. Who is he? Why'd they do it? Why is he here? And what's the story with Sproles and the rest of the gang? As we'll get all into that. Trey Thomas, Brandon Lee Gouton from BleedingGreenNation.com. Of course, I'm John Barchard right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
94 WIP FM HD1 Philadelphia from the Tasty Cake Studios. This is BGN Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Matt Jones makes his way to Philadelphia after stops at Washington and Indianapolis. And now the Philadelphia Eagles have a lot of running backs again. So it's interesting, too, because, you know, Matt Jones looks like a guy who should have it together. I consider him like the new Christine Michael, because everybody thought Christine Michael was going to be, oh, that guy can ball. You just give him an opportunity and he can ball. And I heard a lot of Eagles fans saying that too, even last year, because, you know, he went on waiver wire and the Colts ended up picking him up, but everybody was so confused. Why wouldn't you take a chance on Matt Jones? Well, I would say fumbling the football is probably a good one. Another is it's not that great, you know? So I was pretty confused by it. And again, you know, kiss the ring. I'm not saying, I understand we can't really, it's hard to criticize any move these guys make, but this was kind of a head scratcher, at least for me, BLG, because although they're, sure, different coaching, sometimes right fit, right guy. We've seen that before with many different examples, and not just in Philadelphia. Why Matt Jones, though? That's I don't know.
Well, part of the reason when Doug Peterson was asked about this is the Eagles still have to think about injuries here. Darren Sproles is still coming off that ACL. Jay Ajayi's had a knee issue. You know, that's why we always say he's not going to be re-signed. Doug cited both of those things as reasons why they kind of need these extra backs in camp. I think they just want competition, too, for that number four spot. And Matt Jones is a guy I think worth taking a shot on. He was a former, third or fourth round draft pick a couple years ago. Interestingly enough, Scott McLuhan, who's now, this is the guy who picked him in Washington.
Certainly.
So take it for what it's worth.
Well, don't say that too loudly, because we got emails saying, don't you dare say anything bad about Scott McLuhan.
Well, it's funny. I mean, well, I'm just saying it's his own player. You like him or dislike him. Of course he's going to praise his own player. But he did say, in response to someone who was asking him, who was like one of the most criminally underrated players in the NFL, he could have said anyone, and he said Matt Jones. So that's a little interesting, you know, that he still believes in this guy, and there's talent there. It's just that this guy fumbles a lot. I think it's 8 fumbles and 20 games played. You know, it's almost not half great. Your games played. It's not good. It's hard to see. I think you look at that situation and you might be like, oh, well, Washington's offensive line wasn't great. Well, that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
And
Certainly not true.
Look who they brought in after him, like Fat Rob, you know, was having success. It wasn't like it was just, you know, a bunch of running backs were going there and doing nothing. So I don't have high expectations. I think it's worth a look in camp here. He's a guy. That's the thing. You look at the guys they've brought in this offseason. They're all kind of guys with that. But you look at Marcus Wheaton, probably not going to work out, but I'd rather kind of have him than just some guy who's on the back end of his career. There's like no upside there. They're taking shots on these guys, even like a Marques Wilson, who they took a shot on from the Bears.
Yes.
These depth players, like there's been some intrigue there. You can at least be like, oh, that's interesting. They'll probably turn out to be nothing. But, hey, maybe something happens. Maybe there's an injury, and we have him here, and, you know, it's worth a look.
It's BGN Radio, 888-729-9494. John Barchard, Brandon Lee Gouton, of course, Trey Thomas here, and we're going to stick with him on this, too. What is it like when, and maybe you, I don't know how many times you've had to experience that in your entire career, but there's a lot of competition on offensive line or at left tackle. Certainly they knew you were the solidified starter. I don't think your job was ever in question. But was there a time where they drafted, where they signed, where they brought in a bunch of guys in and went, okay, did you ever get a message of like, man, I need to step my game up here?
Well, I know that they drafted Winston Justice to probably kind of take over my position.
Yeah.
But that just didn't work out.
And then the Giants game happened.
Then the Giants happened, and then you're like, whew, I get another year. All right, we get to finish out my contract. You know, but, you know, you can't worry about that. You know, you have to kind of just stay focused on what you need to do. Make sure you prepare. Because, I mean, every offseason, they're going to draft players to come in and either they're bringing it in to have extra bodies, or they're bringing some in, and they're always looking for replacements. You never know. It could be a free agent that just comes out there and balls. You just never know. So, you know, so you just have to kind of just stay focused, have your blinders on, and just come in and do what you have to do. You know, stay focused on your job.
How confident are you? Well, I even shouldn't say confident. What's Donnell Pumphrey's chances of making the squad, Trey?
I don't know. You know, he's going to have to really show himself this year.
Yeah.
You know, this is that year that if you really want to stay on this squad, you're going to have to really show yourself this this offseason. You're really going to have to prove yourself this offseason. And, you know, we'll see how it starts picking it up as we get into the preseason games.
Yeah, BLG, I mean, I know that Doug had mentioned him like during the press. Oh yeah, looking real great in the off season and things like that. And you know, you look at this thing and you're like, all right, well, it's Darren Sproles, it's Jay Ajayi, it's Corey Clement,
yeah,
and
Locks.
And it's amazing to me that we're in. Of course, it's an off season conversation, but even more so, like, we actually care about who the fourth running back is going to be on this team. Because last year, you and I are sitting there, and I even made the statement: if you have five running backs, you have no running backs. And that ended up being wrong, but
kind of.
But they still not traded exactly for one. Corey got his thing, and you know, LeGarrette Blount got out of a shell and started really killing it here. So it's obvious to me of two things: they will never draft a running back again. That's my opinion. until they absolutely have to. I think they're going to, and if they hit on Josh Adams too, I mean, good Lord, they're really not going to do that. But who is going to be that fourth guy in your mind?
Well, the thing with Donnell Pumphrey, too, and, you know, look, the Eagles front office and Howie Roseman, they've made so many good moves that it's really hard to look at the bad ones and be like, oh, this is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, Donnell Pumphrey, they traded up for him in the fourth round. It's not just that, you know, they took him there. Like, they traded up for that guy. And he to this point, he hasn't looked like a guy who really, you know, we know for sure belongs in the league because he's so small. There's no really precedent of a guy being that small. And look, you can say Darren Sproles, but they're just not the same player at all. I mean, like, Darren Sproles is a mini tank.
Yeah.
Donald Pumphrey's a thin. Like, he's small and he's thin. Like, the build is totally not the same. So I really have to see it to believe it with him. And I think the fact that, you know, they do bring in Josh Adams, they do bring in Matt Jones. And look, you might think this is trivial, but I was looking through the Eagles' new jersey numbers that they gave out, and there's certain players who share their numbers with other players. You know, a lot of them are kind of at the bottom of the roster.
Right.
Donald Humphrey's one of those guys who's sharing a number.
So I was like, who's he sharing it with?
I forget now off the top of my head, but I think it's like one of the, I think it might be like Chandon Sullivan or something.
Oh, man.
Like, so you look at all the other guys who are sharing numbers, they're all like undrafted free agents. They're bottom of the roster guys.
Yeah.
And then he's in there and he was a draft pick. And I was like, you know, maybe I'm reading too much into that, but I was like, eh.
Oh, no, you're not reading too much into that.
Not the best sign.
Yeah, it's not great. So, like, you know, and on top of that, like, you already have, and certainly you got to look past Darren Sproles in what I'm assuming now officially would be his last year after his kind of playing retirement the year before, wants to feel and do that. So, sure, there might be some long-term things that are going in there, but, you know, at the end of the day, one of these guys has to be able to return.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing to me that we don't even mention Smallwood after he was one of the guys that came out like gangbusters in training camp. And you're like, that's the best looking running back that the Eagles have. And he's the farthest thing from it. From what the last time he saw incredible real action was what, week two against Kansas City? Maybe even a little before, you know.
I can't even remember.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So
the Chargers game, I think.
The only thing that he's got, one, he's got experience in the system. Mm-hmm. It's obvious that Deuce likes him a lot, but you know, the same thing with Eli Corey a lot. It turned into that, and he can return, and we've seen him return before on kickoffs. I think that's the difference maker between any of those guys making the roster. I really do. Unless you're beating somebody out for that fourth or fifth spot. I don't think this is a year, as we've been discussing here, though. Is this a time where you don't necessarily need to keep four or five running backs on the roster because you have, you know, other places where you could enjoy the spoils of being a Super Bowl champion, like we were mentioning defensive line? Do they even keep four or five running backs this year?
It depends on how everybody else develops, I guess. You know, with Jernigan going down, that's definitely going to affect some numbers that you would see somewhere else. It depends on what you get out of receivers. Yeah. It depends on what Jason Peters, how he's going to come back. Even Jordan Hicks with the linebacker position, just seeing how those players are going to develop. So, you know, it's really hard to say.
Yeah, it's kind of more wait and see, but
injuries too, right? Yeah. I mean, like, you have to think, again, like I said, Sproles coming off the ACL.
Yeah, yeah.
Ajayi having that knee issue where they kind of have to, like, manage that throughout the year. I almost think you have to keep four because of that, because, like, these guys could easily be out. And then Sproles isn't a full-time player anyway. Like, you're not counting, like, if, you know, someone goes down, you're not ideally trying to count on him in that. So I think the talent will be there. I keep saying that. I think one of these guys is really going to step up. I think,
yeah,
because they have to. Like, this is Smallwood's last chance with this team.
Yeah.
It could be Donnell Pumphreys very well be his last chance to make this main roster. Matt Jones, it could be his last chance in the NFL at all. And then Josh Adams,
it's your third time.
It's not necessarily his last chance because he's an undrafted free agent, but, you know, you're never
going to. Could be your only chance.
Yeah, it could be your only chance. So I think those guys have a lot to fight for.
888-729-9494. Certainly want to get all of your reasons for rookie impacts this year and what's going to be the most beneficial to the Eagles. And certainly, you know, we kind of are curious how this fourth running back race ends up in your mind as we go to Tom in Abington. What's up, Tom?
John, how are you today?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Trey, always a pleasure.
All right.
Hey, BLG.
Tom, I'm already angry.
Right on cue. I love it.
You don't want to make me angry.
Nah, as always, I love you, my man.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, so I got a nickname I think could be good for my life.
Oh, good. I love it.
As far as who I expect to see some impact from rookie-wise, I got one word for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sweat.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Douglas, and I think sweat. Douglas has a knack for undrafted free agents and guys that have injuries that slid down. I expect to see a lot from Sidney Jones this year as well.
Oh, so yeah, so do I. That's yeah. I'm really, really excited to see him out there. And then you have the great thing about this time for him. It's almost like it's an even better situation to step into because, like we said, the defensive line depth is massive. So, you know, it's helping him out and hopefully he can turn around, like, you know, game 6-7 and help the defensive line out as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, so as far as a nickname, I may be reaching, but I've been known to reach before. So let's say, call him the factory.
The factory.
The factory. The factory that built the fridge.
Oh, nice. Okay.
The factory that built the fridge.
You know, Tom, what I was thinking was the freezer. Because, you know, he's like a solid block. Because he's not just
a little too close to the fridge.
That's true. The factory, though, I kind of like that. Maybe we'll play around with that.
He builds all the appliances. You guys have a good day.
You too. All right. Thanks for coming in. Yeah, what do you guys think of the factory?
I don't know. It's too much explanation for your nickname.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the guy that tweeted you and said the Barbie earlier.
Yeah, the Barbie's kind of good.
I really like that. And then if it turns out that he can actually grill, you can just call him the grill master. Just
like
you know,
can put shrimps on a Barbie.
Here's Barbie little 20.
Put look together 25, a lovely 30. Blooming onion.
The blooming onion. Oh, my God. The blooming onions. Kind of
my God. No, we cannot call him the blooming onion.
I don't know. Let's leave it up to a vote.
We can't call him shrimp.
Blooming onion, yay or nay, at @BGN_radio if you're on the Twitter.com. One guy that we haven't talked about much, speaking of rookie impact, I certainly want to keep talking about running backs as well. Listen, I think the chance to make the biggest impact on this roster is Avante Maddox.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, it would have been really nice to, and I can't believe I'm actually saying this, it would have been really nice to have Patrick Robinson back, and if you would have told me that going into the season last year, as I already declared, Washington being up 14-0 in the middle of training camp, you know, before week one started, that, you know, what we all missed the mark on that. But what are you saying? You had him pegged there?
I said I didn't want to just hand the job over to Rasul Douglas. I did say that.
Well, that's just, I mean, you didn't. Yeah, did I hear the words that are out of your mouth? Patrick Robinson's going to play at a Pro Bowl level this year.
I think I said that.
All right, fair enough. We'll have to go and check the tape on that. But to me, this is a guy that has just great closing speed. I'm really curious what he does against bigger-bodied receivers and I don't think he cuts as well as maybe some of the others have been polished to kind of do and turn their hips and do all that. Avante Maddox, to me, will either kind of have I think he could have a very large impact in how the secondary plays because of the way Darby kind of goes in there, because of the way Sidney Jones is, you know, is very much a press guy and is linked out. You need a guy in there that you know you can just leave alone and go, cool, you're in it. The Eagles are, what, close to 52, 53, 54% playing in nickel in their packages?
Robinson had 69% of the snaps last year.
Very nice number, that is. So that's even a larger amount. Avante Maddox is, and that's the other thing, too. I don't even know who the competition is going to be at the nickel slot other than him and Jalen Mills. And what do you do? Or Rasul Douglas, which I think would be a terrible idea. But who's competing with Avante Maddox? That's the question we haven't answered yet.
Yeah, I think it's those two guys are the obvious names that jump out. Jalen Mills, Avante Maddox. You could be looking at maybe like a Jeremy Reeves mixing in there. He did of that in college at South Alabama. That's a guy to watch in there as an undrafted free agent. Malcolm Jenkins obviously plays there when it's kind of a bigger slot guy, like a Jordan Reed, you know, or like a Larry Fitzgerald. He kind of is able to fill in there as well. So maybe that's what you do at that point. You kind of have a slot by committee. I think that's what, you know, the Eagles were kind of almost going to do last year before Robinson really just stepped up and took the job. I think Maddox is an interesting player. I mean, he has that chance to really, the opportunity's there.
For sure.
Like, no doubt about it. If he steps up and he wins that job, it's there for him. There's no one really, like, blocking him particularly. And especially, you were talking about returner earlier. I mean, that's another spot where, now, if you have Darren Sproles, he's going to be your punt returner.
Absolutely.
But he could get some looks there in the preseason. Like, for the future, I'm saying, like, in his career, that could be a spot where he also really earns his time on this team. And look, the wild card, I would say, for the slot position would be Sidney Jones. I don't think it's impossible that he could see some playing time there, especially if the Eagles are trying. They have all these corners. They have Ronald Darby, Jalen Mills. You just brought Avante Maddox into the mix. Rasul Douglas is still here, as you said. Do you experiment with him? Now, John, I don't know. Now, what's your comparison here again for Sidney Jones? You've compared it to a similar player
one
in this city,
Ben Simmons. Well, the anticipation for
it. Here's the thing about that. If that happens, then he doesn't have a shot.
Oh, come on. I gotta tell you, BLG,
you've been working on that one.
I had to do it.
Just off to the side here, BLG needs a diaper change every time Ben Simmons is brought up and a shot is brought up. Like, it's never going to happen again, and he literally is not going to work on it. And I can't wait until he's secretly alone, because I don't think you say that publicly, so I wanted that out there. I think you say it in the text thread.
I want him to improve his shot.
Yes.
And if he does, that'll be great.
He's going to.
He needs it.
He's going to.
We'll see.
That's what I'm going to say.
I hope
he's
it does.
I might have missed if you mentioned him. Did you mention Jordan Thomas out of Oklahoma?
We didn't. I didn't. That's another possibility.
I think he has. I love Avante Maddox. I think he's the best candidate of the new guys to take that slot job. But Jordan Thomas has some real potential. Yeah. And he also went up, you know, I don't know if I like his technique quite as much and his intensity quite as much as Avante Maddox, but he went up against good competition playing at Oklahoma. I think he's got a great shot to make the roster, and he could be a contributor. And you mentioned Jeremy Reeves. Yeah. You look, I mean, he didn't have a good last 2 years, but to look at his sophomore season in college, man, he was good.
Oh, yeah.
He was really, really good.
At
safety, not at cornerback.
I know it's always silly to get pretty pumped about UDFAs, but like, they did a really good job in terms of the really high potential guys. And even to counter what Moshe was saying earlier, and especially what, more to your point, people want to go there. You know, I feel like there's value charts and things like that with UDFAs, which is all completely subjective, but I think the Eagles were second or third in picking up the value in terms of like athletic ability and where they got him and all that stuff. It's a pretty impressive group just to see if they're worth anything. Let's go to Ken in Greensboro. What's up, Ken?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. All
right.
John.
Yes, sir.
Trey Thomas. Pleasure to meet you guys.
All right.
So I got some nicknames for my Lotta.
Oh,
I'm not sure if they're going to fly too well, considering the dude's built like a 6'8" gargoyle.
Before you, the Professor Protron on the Twitter.com at BGN_radio just changed it. Said that the blooming onion to the booming onion. Don't know if that moves anybody else.
Onion.
But Ken, what's your suggestion?
So I like, I got Bouncer, we got Tank, Rhino, Zeus.
That was my nickname in high school.
Zeus?
Zeus.
Really?
Yeah. I had it cut in the back of my head and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man, it was ridiculous.
We got to see some pictures.
Is there a way to recreate that now?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Can you put it? Wait, you can put it in the beard.
I can't get it to grow enough, you know. The helmet rubbed me pretty bad.
Just put it in the beard. Somewhere. Yeah. All right, yeah. Rhino, if he spears somebody, yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Deadlift, cannon, nightmare.
This is like trying to figure out a wrestler name.
Any packages or anything, since we can call him like Bull Shark or something, since Bull Shark is one of the most dangerous animals in Australia.
Oh, okay. The Bull Shark.
He's an Aborigine.
Yeah.
And I got one for Donnell Pumphrey, believe it or not.
Oh,
if
boy.
He does well, if he makes the team.
Okay.
You can call him Pump Action, like a shotgun. Wind up in the shotgun.
That'll definitely be on all his Instagram stories. Which, by the way, Donnell Pumphrey is, have you guys seen his Instagram? It's weird. It's just a lot of staring faces and then turning the camera and then suddenly there's a beautiful girl there. I don't know. Good for him. It's just, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I guess I gotta check it out.
Yeah,
check it out.
I love it. Pump Action, though. That could work. 888-729-99.
Yeah.
94, pound 94, 94, Verizon, AT&T sells. Which rookies are going to make the biggest impact in your mind? And do you believe Matt Jones can kind of stick in here? We'll get to all of it right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This is BGN Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Some other pretty good nicknames coming in for Jordan Mailata. Cliff Tuckerson also mentioned the Big Bang Theory.
The Big Bang
Theory. That kind of works because in theory, you know, should be a something. And then Moshe chimed in. What? He had a nickname already?
I guess it was on some Australian news site. I had to get a subscription to read the whole thing, so obviously I didn't do that. He apparently, while playing rugby, was nicknamed the Thunder from Down Under.
Oh, no.
Which can be shortened to just Thunder, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, let's do that, because Thunder from Down Under is a male review strip club thing. Yeah. Or, like, I think a wrestler, well, I don't know. It sounds like a wrestler should have been named at one point.
Idea I had, I looked up animals native to Australia because the only thing I could think of was the kangaroo.
Yeah.
And then I was looking through and it's a lot of small animals and then a kangaroo. Calling him Roo or kangaroo could work because they're powerful animals. You know, he'd protect Carson Wentz in his pouch. It works. Not really, but yeah. Maybe.
I think you need to go to the bathroom or something, because that's where that take belongs. My goodness.
Go with, that's not a knife. This is a knife. That's not a knife.
BGN Radio's own Vince Quinn also chiming in. Like, the only nickname for Jordan Mailata is Hakuna Mailata, which, again, what is going on here? Here's I got one for you.
That's too confusing.
I just came to me. Ready for this? Practice squad. How's that sound?
Yeah. Going to be it.
Something like that. BGN Radio, 888-729-9494. Trey Thomas, Bradley Gout, John Barchard, all here with you. And it's kind of been some interesting notes and headlines on BleedingGreenNation.com this week, BLG. Apparently, Cortland Sutton, my baby boy, who is not in Dallas, thank goodness, he's in Denver. But if the Eagles would have stayed at 32, he was going to be part of the decision of picks that they were going to make between that and you know, Dallas Goedert and a bunch of others. He wasn't the only one. He wasn't the guy that they were going to select, but certainly kind of interesting that they were still on the radar. Despite that, I mean, obviously they made the right move. You get a second round pick in 2019. You still get one of the guys that you wanted out there. What do you think the difference would have been between Dallas Goedert and Cortland Sutton being here?
Yeah, I think, you look at that rumor, it makes some sense. They brought in Sutton for a visit. They met with him at the combine. They showed a lot of interest in him. Cortland Sutton himself said the Eagles are showing way more interest in me than like any other team. So
yeah.
I think there was some legitimacy to that, but I'm fine. I mean, I really like what they did instead of doing that. I think the thing with that was that you can't just assume there's going to be a trading partner always for you to trade down from, because everyone knew the Eagles wanted to trade down. Maybe there's no one worth their trading up for some teams. It worked out that Lamar Jackson was there for the Ravens, and it made sense for them.
Certainly.
And the Eagles got this 2019 second-round pick. They moved up seven spots in the fourth round, which helped them get Avante Maddox, where they did it at 125. So overall, I think, you know, you look at that and it's kind of a no-brainer in terms of value that you got. I think that's that right there is one of the strengths of Howie Roseman. He identified that, look, I could get Courtland Sutton here, and that's a fine pick, but I could get Dallas Goedert and still have a big impact here. Because, look, if I get Courtland Sutton, he's not going to play a ton.
Right.
We have Mike Wallace here. We have Alshon here. And that similar kind of skill set, too,
definitely,
there, and Aguilar. So you're not going to get that. Like, it's. I don't think it's a huge difference, so why not just move back? I get the value. I get that future pick. I get the guy. I would probably be happy if not take, like, if Courtland Sutton wasn't there, they could have taken Dallas Goedert there. But instead, he read the board the correct way. He figured, no, I can wait. Let's get some more value first. And now you it's the situation where you can have your cake and eat it, too.
Yeah, and this is what's great about, you know, especially with this, and it's weird that I, not even for the value purposes, but I like this so much better, you know, because there wasn't, you still had Wallace to compete with, like you said. Mac Collins is still coming up through here. Alshon Jeffery is here for the foreseeable future. Nelson Aguilar is going to be here. Your wide receiving core is pretty much set for the most part. You're grooming a guy to do that already. Mm-hmm. So to have Dallas here and to have a, you know, a second round 2019 pick is awesome, but just out of curiosity, Trey, would you rather, you know, a Courtland Sutton kind of a wide receiver thing, or the Dallas Goedert is makes a lot more sense?
Yeah,
now.
I'm good with Dallas.
Yeah,
I'm good with Dallas because, I mean, and also you needed a blocking tight end that could get it done also, you know, someone that can kind of help you out in those ranges, because I don't see Billy Brown being that guy that's going to be blowing guys off the ball, you know, so – and hopefully Dallas can kind of fill in that role a little bit and kind of help with solidifying the edge rush or even when it comes to run blocking, because Zach Ertz is not your guy when it comes to, you know, blocking. But also Dallas can also make some plays, so I like the pick.
Yeah, and just like we keep saying before, I mean, it really does. And by the way, there's a lot of people, not BLG not included, our own Ben Livingston here at the station. He's got to walk back a bunch of takes after that long debate, because the first pick that they did was a tight end. And it just, listen, I think it is, I don't want to necessarily say that football is always evolving and sometimes it reverts back into itself and finds old stuff, new stuff again. That's how I feel is where everything is changing to. And I don't know if it was, this kind of throws that theory into a loop a little bit, because if they would have went with Courtland to find an impact wide receiver. But to me, getting Dallas here, Philly here, and controlling basically what the Patriots have been able to do for a very long time with Gronk and with everybody else, controlling the middle of the field is what the Eagles are striving for now. Like, and it's going to make you forget about a lot of the different weapons that are on this team, including Wallace, including Darren Sproles, who we've talked about a little bit here. Does that impact BLG kind of allow other guys? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Does Dallas take the attention away of anybody else and allow them to get open?
Well, I think it kind of just goes to what they did last year and how well they spread the ball. I mean, the thing that was so incredible in part about the Eagles' success is they weren't relying, and I said this earlier in the show, on just that one star player. They didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver. They didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher. There wasn't like this main guy who is the centerpiece, other than Carson Wentz, obviously, earlier in the season as a quarterback. But in terms of skill players, you just didn't have that one guy, and I think that's what Dallas Goedert helps you to continue to do. This is going to be a offense where you spread the ball around, everyone gets involved, they share the targets. I think it's going to be very similar to what it was last year. And look, it's important depth as well. I mean, I can't underrate that part, because, and that's why I am on board with it too, especially because when you had Zach Ertz go down in the Denver game, and even he had to leave the Seattle game early. I know they didn't win that one, but the Rams game, he was out the next game after that. I mean, those were, like, I remember thinking before that game, once it was known that he was going to be out, I was like, man, that sucks. Like, this, they could lose this game now, because earlier in the season, especially, Zach Ertz was that go-to guy in the offense. He was the leading receiver. He's certainly a very important part of this team. And now with Celek being gone and Burton being gone, you don't have that safety blanket, because Zach Ertz went out last season and those guys stepped in, didn't even miss a beat. So that's not going to be the same situation this year if they didn't address that position. So you have Goddard in there now. I think that gives you really important depth there, and I'm looking forward to it.
And, you know, Trey brought it up already, but Yeah, it's interesting how Billy Brown went from like, oh, you got to look out for him to, probably won't even, he doesn't even make it as tight end three now because you have, well,
he's a shot.
They're both, yeah. I take that back because in my mind, for some dumb reason, I think Richard Rodgers can actually block and he can't. So that's kind of another thing that's a little, well, it also kind of tells you where the NFL is going too. I mean, you have three guys who can catch the ball that don't really block that well. And Dallas is, although he's shown the willingness to it, it's certainly not polished by any means, but he wants to make that contact in there. So, you know, I guess when it comes to stuff like that, and certainly no one would be surprised if Billy Brown or Richard Rodgers don't make this team. Trey, do you think that there's anybody on this roster right now that would be a little bit of a surprise that has a chance of not making this squad? Or do you think that they're pretty much set in and built in, and there won't be any weird surprise cuts this year?
Not really. I guess, you know, we've already talked about Pumphrey.
Because our own Benjamin Solak thinks it's not a lock for Darren Sproles to make the roster. Which I think is, yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. Hey, you hear that, Solak? Yeah, listen to that.
I wish you could just see Trey's face. It was
a blank stare.
Sproles not make the team? Man, come on, man. Yeah,
Thank you.
I don't think you have to worry about Sproles, you know, making the team. I really don't know. I mean, this squad is pretty stacked, man, and everybody's pretty solid. I don't know. I really don't know.
BLG, any thoughts on any surprise roster cuts?
Oh, we're talking about cuts.
Not making the team or whatever, or trades or whatever.
Say Nick Foles. No.
there he goes
again.
No, I was
just kidding. That's a joke. It's tough. I mean, I guess, like, is Shelton Gibson getting cut surprising? Probably not.
Not really.
They're looking at some of those guys. I don't think it's anyone. It's a different spot this year. I mean, Michael Kendricks. Not really surprising, I think, either, even if that happened.
Which was actually explained on the podcast. There's no, I mean, it's just irresponsible to hold on to him.
It's not going
to
happen. Yeah. Like, you think Howie Roseman, knowing that he's tied up against the cap, is paying $7.6 million, which is the eighth highest cap figure on the team, seventh or eighth, to a guy who's going to play, like, at most 50% of the snaps?
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Yeah. No, neither do I. So, yeah. I mean, besides the trades, and that's where it is. Like, where are the cuts going to come? Where are they going to be, you know, really kind of tightening up the fat here, and where they're going to keep some of that on? I still go back to that. Like, don't you think that this is a point in time where they can have the luxury of hanging on to a bunch of defensive line guys when normally you probably wouldn't? And it might not be. We're measuring that against running backs, but certainly against, you know, wide receivers. I think that's another thing that Dallas provides you is you don't have to keep Sheldon Gibson. You don't have to go with six. You can go with five, you know, maybe at that point in a roster spot. Could you see that happening at all? You know, where they're trimming down on wide receivers versus defensive line?
Possibly.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends on how everybody develops, how everybody picks up the system, who's going to show up, who's going to fall off, who's been, you know, enjoying the off season a little too much. Yeah, yeah, you know. So it all depends. Then you just never know who's going to get hurt. You know, injuries are always going to pop up. So you just never know how it's going to play.
How much truth do you think there is, Trey, in, like, keeping the best 53? Because the coaches always say that. They're like, we got to keep the – it's not about keeping four running backs. It's about keeping the best 53.
You're going to do the best 53 that's going to give you the depth that you need,
right?
You know, and that's going to cover your tail, you know, because you don't want to go in there with not enough offensive linemen, you know, because that's one of those positions where a lot of guys can't interchange as easily as people think. And
forever we were bitching about that for like 2.5 years, and then they got some, and absolutely. So,
you know, it's going to be, you know, when you want the best, but you want the best that gives you the depth that you need.
Right.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. And then there's a lot more to get into when it comes to roster stuff. And, you know, we haven't even hit OTAs yet. So we'll see how a lot of these rookies measure up with veterans. We'll get your phone calls and we'll head into our final segment. It's Trey Thomas, Brantley Gowton, John Barchard here with you. It's BGN Radio right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This is BGN Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Rob and Tank coming up live from Lincoln Financial Field.
They're home down of the Super Bowl champion.
That's right.
Yes.
In case you missed it. They're down there for the Eagles Football Festival for Women happening, which I'm assuming is a nice, cool Mother's Day event that's going on. They're coming up next. It's BGN Radio. Trey Thomas in the building. Cindy Webster also in the building on a Saturday.
Hanging out.
Brandon Lee Gouten, also John Barchard with you right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP, 888-729-9494. Let's go to our good friend Dave in Springfield. What's up, Dave? Yo, Dave.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's
nice
up, buddy?
Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too.
Hey, I was just thinking of a nickname, and if this guy is the beast that everybody says he is, there's only one name for this guy. He's the Kraken.
Wow.
the Kraken. Yeah, I know. I got what? The judges? I know this is like Moshe's favorite.
It's not my favorite.
Kraken?
But I'm in.
I like it.
Yeah, we'll put that. That's on the
board.
It's
in the mix.
Yeah, it's definitely in the mix. Yeah. Unleash the Kraken.
I mean, there's no. I mean, if you ever saw that, there's no question that this is the meanest guy in the, you know, the meanest thing that's ever walked the. Whatever. but anyway.
Well, that's why. Well, that's what it is, Dave. No, the Kraken package. I could see that. You know, you send him in and take care of business. I don't know. Well, we'll let it.
Exactly is a Kraken? I need you to guys refer.
It's a big, like, it is. I only know it because
it's like a giant squid.
Yeah.
It's like a giant like a sea monster thing.
Yeah, it's like a. Okay. Is that like a real thing?
No, as real as the Loch Ness Monster.
The ocean is really big.
It hangs out with Bigfoot and all the rest of the guys?
It's real to me, Trey.
Yes.
That's all that matters.
Like Santa Claus?
That's right.
Santa Claus real?
And the Easter Bunny and everybody else.
Bigfoot for breakfast.
Yes! That's a sea guy.
Let's go to John in Oxford. John, what's up, buddy? You're on BGN Radio. Yo,
hey,
John.
Good talking to you guys.
You too, bud.
All right.
Hey, so I tuned in when I hopped in my car right when you were talking about, again, nicknames.
Yeah.
And I love thinking about nicknames. And if you already got this one, I'm sorry. But I think this is absolutely perfect for a big Australian powerhouse like that. Think the baddest creature in Looney Tunes cartoons, which happens to be a real animal.
The Tasmanian Devil.
The Tasmanian Devil.
I like that. We're just Taz.
That's right, for short.
Wow,
how you like that?
Again, very, very acceptable, John. We'll put it on the board. Taz, Kraken. There's been a whole bunch of Crocodile Dundee references, oddly enough, but not that there's anything that's Let's see, what is his name? Paul Hogan.
Yeah, Paul Hogan.
Paul, I guess you can't like give a literal actor's name to a football player as a nickname. That doesn't really work. Instead, let's go to Megan on a cell. What's up, Megan? Yo, Megan. All right, put Megan on hold and see if she's there. Yeah, so, I mean, it's not, let's have him and make the squad first, I think. That should go into it. But the moment that he does.
He has size 18 shoes.
Size 18 shoes.
Call him Bigfoot.
He could be Bigfoot.
And he thought he was 16, which is funny.
Because it was like the difference, I guess, in the countries. Right. Yeah.
So, Yeah,
that's different shoes.
He's like, yeah, I wear a size 12.
Yeah, I want to see a picture of him standing next to Sproles, though.
Oh yeah,
or
that'd
even
be fun.
Me for that matter.
Yeah, that'd be even better. Let's try Megan one more time. Megan, what's up?
Hey guys, my bad. I was on mute. But I tuned in when you guys were talking earlier about Donald Pumphrey. And to be honest, I would be really surprised if he made the team based on how preseason went last year. Yeah. I'd really rather have Kenyon Barner keep that spot.
Well, unfortunately, Kenyon Barner signed with the Panthers this week. So
my bad. All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, yeah. And no, you're right on, Megan. That's like, forget preseason. Like, he didn't. When me and BLG were down there for training camp,
OTAs even,
you're like, where's the speed? Where's the stuff that you were promised, you know? And it's long before hamstring injury or anything that happened there. It's just like, I don't get it. He looks like he should be a quick, very fast, mobile guy, but he looks pretty normal out there and not in a good way.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's exactly how I felt. I was like, I don't get it, but always interested to see. I heard you guys keep talking about the undrafted free agents, so who the Corey Clement is going to be this year. So definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, that should be fun. Who's anybody that's what do we like to call it again? The Nate Brown Award.
Yeah,
for who is ever kind of catching your eye. Who's definitely not going to make the team, but everybody loves.
Let's ask Megan, what is your, does she have a nickname for Jordan?
Oh, yeah. You have a Jordan Mulata nickname?
Oh, not yet. I keep thinking about like Sav Rocca, and I'm just so stoked to have this guy on the team. So I'm looking forward to, definitely looking forward to watching this guy play. But a Bigfoot, I kind of think, I love that video of the cleats. So I guess Bigfoot is one.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, see, it's just straightforward. It's there.
It's right there.
We'll figure it out. But that's kind of like where, you know, a lot of this different stuff that we've been talking about is still right down to honestly putting pads on and doing a lot of this stuff. Is there anybody, as we're going to get into OTAs, though, because shorts don't ultimately matter when you're in shorts or pads, and trail is going to be.
No.
Is there anything you can take away, though, when rookies and vets meet up with one another without pads, Trey?
Can he stay in front of the guy? You know, but you know what? These camps are so different. It's not like you're going to be going against someone like that. You have to go in, you're going in front of trash cans and stuff like that. Yeah. You're not going to really see anything until he puts on pads, you know, and that's the reality of it. And, you know, can he get his footwork down? You know, from right now, just from off some of the clips that I'm seeing from this kid, he's going to have to work on his stance. His stance is way too wide. Play tackle, so you know, and then a size 18 shoe, man. You know, do they even make those?
Those are custom.
You just go ahead and cut some, you know, make some stuff happen. But I don't know. What did King Dunlap, what size shoe did he wear?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Pretty clear.
Probably up 15. There.
Yeah, he probably somewhere. Had to be right up there with it. Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting, man, you know, to see. I hope it, you know, it's a project, but we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And just in terms of, like, you know, because even though we were just saying, you know, the pump didn't have any pads on, but you could tell.
Yeah.
It's like it wasn't
the burst
quite,
wasn't
quite enough to. I think that's what you should take away from OTAs and minicamp and things that are happening up until they put the pads on in training camp there, BLG.
The number one most important thing, OTAs, don't get hurt.
And to me, the
other quick thing is that, like, sometimes I feel like it's a little build on what you see in training camp. Like, this guy's appearing in training camp. Oh, he did that in OTAs, too. Maybe this guy is legit. Or this guy was really bad in OTAs and really bad in training camp, too. Mm-hmm. He brought, like, Pumphrey. Like, kind of distinct.
Yeah.
So, you know, and as you're going through it, and next week, that's certainly what we'll be talking about, because there'll be on-the-field action. And that's what I've kind of settled on here, too, is it is – be my final thought rolling out. The honeymoon, I believe, is officially over.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting that sense. Like, even with the draft, I didn't think it was over yet because, you know, you had David Akers rile everybody up and everybody's feeling it. Yeah. And now everybody's ready to put it to bed.
Yeah.
Certainly with the players have been doing that for a long time now. Everybody's going to get ready to work. And I'm excited. I really am. A Super Bowl II electric boogaloo sounds really good with Carson Wentz at the helm. Healthy for the entire season, the entire playoff run, and we'll get our first peeks of that too in the upcoming weeks. Robin Tank, have you throughout the rest of the afternoon, as once again they're down at Lincoln Financial Field for the Eagles Football Festival for Women. For Trey Thomas, for Brandon Lee Gouton, I'm John Barchard. This has been BGN Radio right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.